Awesome.
All right. It is May 25th, and it is 5:38. And this is Greg, and I'm going to call the meeting to order on behalf of Sarah. And we're going to go ahead and take attendance. So, Anne, are you here? And Donald, are you here?
Yes, I'm here.
All right, Donald, and this is Greg. I'm here. And Kara, are you here?
I'm here.
And Sarah is currently absent. And so we have quorum, and we're going to do something we haven't done before, which is we're going to add a quick vote. I'm going to make a motion to that Donald be allowed to fully participate in the meeting under the new rules. He can do this twice a year. He had an extenuating circumstances tonight related to childcare. And for Donald to participate, it needs a second and a vote of us to participate. And he has to have his camera on, and he has to declare if there are any 18-year-olds in where he is. Those are the rules under which he is allowed to participate. And there he is. He's camera on. So is there a second to that motion? Anne will second. All right. And so we have a first and a second. Is there any discussion about this, about Donald participating this way? This is our first. Go ahead, Donald. You're
sure. As a part of this discussion, I'll go ahead and declare that there are no 18-year-olds or older in my presence.
Thank you. Yeah, this is our first time ever doing this because this is a brand new thing. But so we're doing the best we can. All right. All in favor? Aye. All right, Donald, you're good to go. So with that, we can move on to the next item, which is, are there any changes to the agenda that we need? All right, seeing none, we're going to review our community agreements. So these are welcome discomfort, learn from silence, mistakes are for learning, be curious, expect and accept non-closure, recognize your impact, be vulnerable and courageous, know that it is possible, compassionate feedback, and build relationships. Does anyone want to speak to one that they're thinking about this evening? In that case, I'm going to offer that I'm going to try and learn from the silence tonight and invite us to move on to the next item, which is board and community appreciations. And I have an appreciation. I'm not going to wait for the public hearing. I'm just going to say thank you, staff, so much for all the work on the LCAP draft, the presentation slides, the local indicators, all the review and everything. I know you guys were in that document a ton over the last few weeks. So thank you, thank you, thank you. And I know like there's many people in that document working on it that are not here right now as well.
Sarah's not here right now, but I wanted to appreciate her for the start of the board. Also, I know that the meeting, the special meeting was hard. But I left feeling really inspired that we're in a community where so many people came together. Honestly, I really deeply care and really deeply wanted to just communicate. And I think that that's a really positive thing. So.
Hello, this is Donald Williams. I too wanted to appreciate our school community and kind of for the same reasons. We had a lot of tough conversations over the last month or so, and I'm glad that we were able to be community enough to have these tough conversations. And it was really beautiful to see everyone come together for these tough conversations and try to work things out. And so I wanted to just appreciate our school community for that.
appreciate the Sunflower students who are taking on the project to fold 1,000 frames to end the year. And that's been a nice little project that has spread to other classrooms. I find myself being more productive when I fold a frame every once in a while. And so that's been nice. So thank you to them for initiating that.
I would like to appreciate our middle school students who are planning their graduation for next week. I've been really involved in supporting a couple of them, and it's been fun watching them put that leadership role. I also want to appreciate Miss Jess for giving the upper L students the dance that they were denied earlier this school year. I know my fourth grader is really excited about it. So it'll be interesting to see what happens.
I want to appreciate, I don't know who does things, the FAC for the parents night out. It seems like that was like, well, seems like it was super fun. I know Tess got to be one of the helpers and she had a great time. So. Yeah.
And it raised $1,000 for the school. Oh.
Sorry.
That's somebody calling to appreciate Greg on his birthday, doing his favorite thing at a board meeting.
It's just what I wanted on my birthday.
Strangely, yeah. You were trying to sound sarcastic, but I don't believe you. I think
you're would honest. Definitely. Lauren, you have your hand raised. Would you like, do you have an appreciation, or do you just want to tell us you can't hear Daniel?
I also have an appreciation. I wanted to appreciate Krishna and Daniel and Melody among all the other appreciations for the special board meeting. I want to appreciate you guys for being there and listening and being open and taking the time and putting in, you know, being present and hearing everybody's feedback. And you, the three of you and everybody, for learning from a really difficult situation and looking and finding ways to move forward and make our school and staff and community stronger. And I also wanted to appreciate Sarah for all of the thoughtful communication that she has done out to the community over the past several weeks, which I think has been very helpful. And also reiterate everyone's appreciation for our community. That's it. And Greg, for being here both on your birthday and I think on Tessa's birthday too. So you're 2 for 2 right now. Okay, I'm done.
Other appreciations? Thank you, Lauren. My birthday is now a matter of public record. I love it. It's out there. Okay, moving on. Board members, comments on things that are not on tonight's agenda. Okay, public, this is your turn. Things you want to talk about or give a comment about that are not on tonight's agenda. There's no members of the public here in person, so Zoom, I'm looking at you. Let me know if you'd like a few minutes to talk to us. All right, not seeing any, we're going to move on. So to the highlight of the evening, of course, as always, the head of school's report.
You want to share a screen on that?
I'm not going to share. Oh, yeah, I'll share my screen so that the people on Zoom can see it. I will do that.
It's in the documents because there's something weird on board and track. I couldn't link it in there. They did a change or something. I didn't want to hit amend.
I appreciate that, Ms. Krishna, because you didn't want to change the timestamp on the agenda. And neither did I. And I took a moment to chat with Board on Track, and they assured me that you can click that amend button and then attach materials. And if that's all the only change you do, then that kind of change will not amend the timestamp. And I ended up doing that. So I tested and it worked.
Okay.
But I also gave them feedback that all of their warnings do not make that clear enough, and it's super stressful. And
you say attach documents or amend, and like that was so much clearer. So I put the slides all in the separate documents folder.
It's all good. And do I have the right one though? Let's see if I'm sharing the right thing.
There are two slides.
Yeah.
That's right.
Okay.
All right. Well, we've reviewed our community agreement, so we can scroll through that. That's one reason enough coming. We are so very close to the end of the year. That's what all the upcoming events are. And there's no school Monday, Memorial Day. And then next week, we have one full day of instruction on Tuesday, our last full day. And then minimum day dismissal Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday. There are some graduations next week. There is a reason there's no times posted. You will get direct invitations if you're on that list, because we cannot accommodate all 100% of adults who want to come.
Oh.
So sixth grade is doing a graduation on the 31st. Eighth grade graduation is Thursday, June 1st. And then just a FYI reminder, I know Melody's been sending this out over and over, but there's no expanded learning or aftercare on the last day of school. In lieu of the staff party.
Before I do end the data, I wanted to add for students that are transitioning to another level, they'll find out their placements Friday, and there'll be time for them to visit those classrooms on Tuesday. But information will go out about that.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's so amazing.
Similar second year in a row that they've had that opportunity, which is amazing.
We're a few weeks behind this time, but yeah.
Doing great.
Before the end of school.
That is so awesome.
Yep. Okay. Notices are already queued up.
So spring NWA data. This is, I got this yesterday afternoon. Academic Oversight Committee didn't get to meet, so we'll dive deeper into this in June.
It's on the calendar, but we'll adjust it.
Okay. At our next meeting. So our first slide here, these are quintile bands. So the percentage of students in each quintile, it's a little bit hard to read. So the top ones are spring, and then the bottom ones fall. So it's not top to bottom chronological, it's opposite. So on the top half of the screen here, we have our reading scores fall to spring, and then our math scores on the bottom half of that screen fall to spring.
So just so I understand this, just to clarify, so the very top bar has some dark green, some light green, some yellow. Yes. Though all those three groups combined, just over 50% represent the high average, and the average altogether.
Yes.
Okay. And that's the most recent data for reading.
Yes.
And for who, which grade levels take reading?
First through eighth grade.
Okay.
Sorry, I didn't give any background.
Yeah, that's great. Now I just want to make sure I'm reading the slide right.
And may I clarify, the fall is fall 2022 and the spring is spring 2023, correct?
Yeah, this school year.
Okay.
Yep.
And spring is, yes.
Yeah.
From this school year, yeah. But this is just straight achievement percentiles.
Okay.
If we go to the next slide. So this is just for reading, and this is broken out by grade level, and it gives the average national percentile by grade. So in each grade, what was the average national percentile of the student? So I'd say like a good target here is you want to be at 50% or above. And so this is for reading. The blue line is the fall average. And then the yellow bar is the spring average. And so we see that for reading, we're above the 50th percentile in several of the classes with that kind of dip in the upper L and then come back up in middle school. The next slide is the same information, but just with math. Oh, sorry, I'm not on the same thing. So we see a similar trend here. with that decline in the upper L with that recovery back in the seventh and eighth grade. And the seventh and eighth grade actually being the two grades where the spring achievement percentile were higher than the fall achievement percentiles. Right, so we have lots of discussion to have around that in our next academic oversight committee. And then moving into the next slide, this is the this shows the percentage of students that met their growth target set out by NWA. Right? So red is the percentage of students that hit their growth targets. The progress is the people that were close, kind of like in the standard deviation of couldn't say yes, couldn't say no. And then the yellow, that 40% are the students that didn't meet their growth targets for fall to spring growth in reading. So 35 yes, 23 in that progress range, and then 40% no. And then for our math, same information, percentage of students meeting growth, those in that kind of middle range of progress, and then no. If you break that down by grade level, we see our spring, our reading numbers here. We see that it kind of increases with the older students. Right? And so while in that earlier slide, it showed that the low numbers, especially in the sixth grade, it's actually there a pretty good number of them are hitting their growth targets, especially if you're looking at the people in the progress and then thinking about how much of the progress I actually hit those growth targets. And I would say that about 50% are close or there. If we look at our math, overall lower, but high in that sixth and seventh grade band. With that, if you're including some of that progress range being well above 50% for meeting their growth targets.
All right.
And again, this is like we just got yesterday, so we'll be diving into this and subgroup data, and internally we'll be looking at classroom data. Go ahead.
Can I ask this before we go to the next topic? Thank you for sharing this. Sounds like it's really new. I know you haven't had a chance to really dig into it, and you guys will. One of the things I'm always curious about is the combination of what it like overall or in a grade, what percentage of kids got all the way to like the first thing, high or high average, you know? So some kids got there, but maybe didn't meet their growth goal.
Yes.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And so like looking at all the 50 kids in a grade, how many of them got either their growth goal or hit high average or high?
You could probably just look at the growth for kids with low average, low, and like, or we can decide as a school, like where that importance is. It's a lot harder to meet your growth goal when you're already in average, high average.
Right. That's what I'm trying to say.
See that regularly where, especially in that high average and high zone, far fewer of the students hit that growth metric because it's harder to grow.
Yeah. That's why putting those together to say, like, at the end of the day, how many of the kids, like what percentage of the kids at the school are either kind of where they already need to be or are making that growth goal? Because then that helps you isolate, you know, okay, who's left, you know, and who's not. And the two sets of slides you can't build that data just using these slides. You have to go back. So that's just, I wanted to raise it. I know you don't have that data now, but that definitely tells a story of like, okay, these kids are already high achieving. These kids aren't there yet, but they're making growth, right? And of course we want high achieving kids to also grow, but we don't have unlimited resources. And so I think it helps tell a story, and it might be helpful for, you know, down the road with other things. That was my question more of a comment. And I'll just appreciation that that you brought academic data, even though you didn't meet and everything, just to give us a chance and start to dig into it, because there's clearly way more. And as you mentioned, subgroups and all the things.
Can I ask a quick question?
Yes.
Okay. This is, if you could go back a slide or two to the bar chart, the vertical bar chart. Yeah. Daniel, do you have a thought about what's going on in this sixth to seventh grade transition? It seems not only on this slide, but on a couple of the other ones, that there's a big difference happening both in achievement and growth. And I'm just wondering, I know it's early, if you have any initial thoughts.
My initial thoughts are around the style of teaching in seventh and eighth grade are closer to what you see on the test.
Right? Interesting.
It translates easier. While in those, especially in those elementary years where it's much more material heavy and like we're building that conceptual understanding, and like that's the focus in that Montessori class, and that the model shifts a little bit. So I think it's more familiar when you're taking the test of like, oh, this is how I do questions in class also.
Fascinating.
Thank you.
Which I think is might also show a little bit of why the growth in sixth grade is also high. Like when I look at the math, like slide 12. Because the pathway for students in the elementary years for math is moving towards abstraction, right? So starting pretty material heavy in those early years, and then like weaning off of that as you're ready. And by sixth grade, then moving into working pretty abstractly, which is really what the tests are asking for. So I have wonderings about that also.
Thank you.
Awesome. All right, let's go on to enrollment. Is that you, Ms. Grisha?
Back to me. Just bringing some updated data. There are numbers in here that are relating to a budget that nobody's seen yet that will come up a little bit later. So this is real-time numbers from today around who's accepted, new students who have accepted. Our current intent to return data is in that returning column, the totals, and then against our budgeted numbers. So, you can stare at that for a while. I know there's half students there. And if you can just trust that there's a thoughtful calculation in our intent to return that has to do with maybes and we're not sure, that's where those half students come from. And so we're aware that we won't have half a student, but it's a good budgeting tool for the moment in terms of next step. So if you go to the next slide, essentially
I went to the next slide, but I see it did not move.
It's just taking a minute. Okay. While our current numbers look promising, we are, moving conservatively anyways, resurveying families, an additional intent to return survey went out. And that's pretty typical procedure for us to send one in January, February in advance of the lottery and another one close to the end of the year. So we sent those out again today. We've also are investing in some marketing to fill like very specific gaps and specific grades and to think a little bit more about targeted marketing in specific geographical areas where we'd like to recruit, and then just budgeting really conservatively to account for, all the last minute changes that we've come to know happen for families. So it looks like we're at our budget numbers right now, but
that's amazing.
We're going to keep it. That doesn't mean we will be, right? But I'm hoping we'll be well above them.
Yeah. But I mean, right now being where you're at, I mean, we can compare to, there's other systems and they're not at this moment in time.
And to be clear, that's because we adjusted our budget from our original proposal, which is reflected in the budget today that Finance Committee will share. And so we had, when we initially made our numbers were, our projected numbers were higher.
I'm just going to reshare because it looked like it was stuck.
Yeah. Slow.
Huh. Now it's even worse.
Just let it. We'll just wait for
okay,
it.
Well, we're on.
Folks on Zoom, sorry. There's a bit of a lag on our slides. So, next, just staffing updates. Some of this information is the same as last month. The 42 of 47 staff members have been invited to return. four staff members shared that they're leaving, and three full-time positions have been added. So on the next slide, we have our specific and current open positions listed. We are hiring for one lower elementary lead. We have two candidates set, scheduled to interview right now, and some other applications in the pipeline. We are looking for a seventh and eighth grade humanities teacher. We are sending an offer out to somebody tomorrow. So we'll see how that, hopefully they'll say yes. And if not, we'll go down our list of other candidates. Same with PE, making an offer tomorrow. We are looking for a student support assistant, one full-time substitute teacher, and two support teachers in addition, and have a whole bunch of applicants in the pipeline for all of those positions. And just trying to book the interviews right now.
All right, thank you both. Other questions on staffing or enrollment or hiring? Go ahead, Dan. Okay. I was just going to make a quick comment that I did get the intent to return form today, and I filled it out, and I feel like it was one of the first times that it was like totally smooth. I had like no questions about it. Like it worked on Parent Square perfectly. All the every option I needed like was there, and like, you know.
I will say that there was regret from the ops team about sending it out during the day because they got like 40 phone calls to answer it over the phone as soon as it went out. So we do ask that people fill it out online. Because the phones got completely bogged down like all afternoon from the minute it went out until they left. And they're like, oh, maybe we send it at 4:30 next time. So that they can just respond to voicemails. Because we don't actually have staff capacity to answer the phone all day. Yeah, we check our messages though, folks. So feel free to leave one.
Jimmy. Okay. Any public comments? Any other public questions? Otherwise, we're going to move on to our public hearing.
I don't know if this is the right place. I have a question about the surveys that are about satisfaction and comments about classrooms and the environment and so forth. Are those going out again this year?
We'll get back to you.
Yeah, we don't have an answer for you right now, but that's a great, they are making note of that question.
Okay. If I may, last time we got it, I think we got one as a middle school parent, we got one for middle school. You know, we got one for the class, like per child, right? I think you get it for the child. If there's a way for the middle school to have one for each teacher, okay. I wonder if that would be a more effective way to get good information.
And they're linked to previous question sets, and it's not middle school, it's 6, 7, 8. And that's a function of the actual survey, Lauren. Mm. So they have different questions for first through fifth graders than 6 through 8 because of like statewide mental health questionnaires and things like that. It's linked to other data. This is not a teacher satisfaction survey. It's a whole school experience. So
okay.
We have lots of question marks internally around the ways the questions are asked. We had some hilarious conversations with middle school students last time what they thought those questions meant. And that helped inform some of the results we had gotten, because there's questions that don't maybe apply to our context as well, because they're sort of norms. And so we are always contemplating starting afresh, but then you don't have the longitudinal data. So
we're right.
Wanting to start fresh and waiting for our renewal for now many years because it keeps getting delayed. And we'll probably do a different survey post-renewal.
Great, thank you.
All right. It's 6:08, and I'm going to open the public hearing on our local control accountability plan. And Ms. Christian, I think there's a presentation to start this off. So I'm going to share my screen again.
We could do it without it. It's weird, but nice to have some slides.
Frame it up.
We've been talking about the LCAP every meeting, every committee meeting for many months now, but just a little overview, the LCAP, Local Control and Accountability Plan, it's a compliance document that all school districts fill out. And since we are a single site school district, otherwise known as LEA, we do a full LCAP for our small school here. And the purpose of it is it's a tool to goal set and to reflect on goals, but also to consider how we allocate a small subset of our resources that are designated as being for our students, unduplicated students, which includes English language learners, homeless foster youth, and students who qualify for free and reduced lunch. So if you're feeling curious about it, definitely click into the links that are available in all the places, and you'll see those totals of money that we're speaking to in the LCAP. We also speak to all of the other money in our finance document, so you can look there as well to see all of the other things that we're doing. So our LCAP has three big goals. So if you want to go to goal one, our first goal is Black students with IEPs and students contributing to our unduplicated count meet or exceed their NWEA growth goals, winter to winter or spring to spring, and 50% reach average or above average achievement on NWEA math and reading assessments. These are 3-year long goals. We are not quite there, as we saw with our recent data, but we're still working towards that and have identified some specific actions in our LCAP and money that is being allocated to support that. The second goal is UMCF staff receive regular coaching and mentoring and feel sustained in their roles. Every classroom has a fully trained Montessori teacher, and classrooms are each a fully prepared learning environment. This is one that we've done. We've made steady growth every year in this category and have very clear items in place next year to expand coaching and support of staff. And we have trained Montessori teachers in every room, and our classrooms are looking better and better all the time. And our last goal is to continue to build strong school community-wide and family-wide engagement, examine and interrogate school procedures and policies to surface and address racist practices or behaviors in the ongoing effort to model being an anti-racist school and community. And we dedicate a lot of resources to this particular goal, and we have, if you're interested in looking more at like the metrics we're using to measure, you can look into the LCAP doc, which shows the specific metrics and the progress from 1 year to the next. So just keeping in mind that this is a 3-year cycle of goals, and we're in year 2 or 3. I don't know what year we're in.
I think this plan is for next year.
Yes.
And I think it's the third year.
Next year is the third year.
Yeah.
So thanks.
And I think it's the first time the state will have ever completed a cycle.
Right. And they change the template every single year, even though it's still part of the 3-year.
And they're going to change it again for the new cycle.
Right. So that's lots of fun. But generally speaking, what we're always hoping for when we ask for that community input, when we bring this up at all the meetings, and we want folks thinking about, do we feel like our current goals are appropriate? Are there other actions that we'd like to see in our spending plans, other thoughts and questions about it? And that's the feedback that we're, always looking to gather from all the stakeholders. Next slide. Lots of ways you can offer that. You guys are all here. So if you have thoughts, but the best way is you can just go directly into the document. You can comment on it. You may see one or two open comments. It is, the draft is very close to complete. I think we had open comments today left in putting in some of the brand new NWEA data that we got yesterday that may or may not have made it in by tonight, but that's the only data that's not yet reflected in there. So everything else is, we believe, complete, and we'll just receive any feedback. But based on any feedback, it's available for adjustment until we vote at the next meeting. So the next bit of this conversation is around the local indicators. Whenever we review our LCAP, we're also look at our local indicators at the same time. The local indicators, this was like a state Board of Education approved standards that every school looks at. So I have them listed out on the slide here. And it's just another tool that the California Department of Education uses to help like evaluate success at schools. And it's another tool that we look at each year. As a school, we have met all of the priorities. And again, you can find this linked as well in documents. This doesn't actually get posted to the state until like November, but it is typically filled out for the current, like reflection of the current year, and then looked at as one of the tools that we use to inform our LCAP. I think that's it.
Questions? I don't have really questions. Just again, I'll double down on my appreciation for all the work on these documents. I don't have any. I think everything, you know, we're in the middle of a cycle and they're going to keep changing the templates. So I just want to acknowledge that like goal one is so enormous. It's just so much work. It's not like nothing in it is wrong or bad. It's just a lot. It's math and reading and growth and achievement and all these subgroups. And it's just, and I love that it's goal one. And it's a lot. Yeah, I do wonder as they move, I think we should pay attention as the state like adjusts the whole thing for the following year, that if they really only want to plan about unduplicated kids, then maybe we should start a new cycle, like super narrow on only the unduplicated kids. And maybe we need a different plan that has, you know, that's for these kids where the LCAP is just then one. It speaks, you know, one piece of it. I don't
know. I feel it's unclear from the state level that's while they make you, what they're asking you to do is identify resources for unduplicated. The actual instructions on the LCAP
are
not clear that you're supposed to tailor it. It can be broader.
Yeah.
And like one of the things it asks is this supporting like all students, some students, or specifics, like you're supposed to answer those pieces as well. And not all of the money counts on there
contribute
to the total $243,000 or whatever. I have something like $400,000, something shy of $500K reflected on there, but not every piece of those dollars counts towards
the unduplicated.
If you're into the finance side of it, look at the action tables.
Okay.
That's where the kind of clear money stuff is easiest to look at.
Okay.
In my opinion. So there's some question marks there because it's also a form given to us by the state with some calculators that we're not sure are working right. Just one.
Other questions or comments, board or public, on LCAP in this hearing? What happens next with the LCAP in this process?
We watch and receive any additional feedback. We give it several more reads ourselves and ensure that we have it correct. And then we bring it to the June meeting for a separate vote for approval. And then it is submitted to the county and the county and the state for a review and filing, right? It's also available. I think there's probably posted on the website or some specific.
Yeah, we'll post it on Board on Track.
Put as well. So this is the last month of feedback collection after the public hearing. And the purpose of this is to give that final like opportunity and ensure that it's been made available. So we talk about it at all our meetings here. Just as a best practice.
Going once, going twice. Okay, then it is 6:17. I'm going to close the public hearing and move on to the Finance Committee.
I'm really sorry. I didn't prepare to speak on it.
Tonight. Okay.
And I'm committing as a board member and as a Finance Committee member to be better at
You're good.
The load and doing that, but I'm sorry I didn't figure that out.
Today. Don't worry about it. We'll do it together.
Like, Thank you, Molly. To all of us.
We can, we got you. Here we go. We're going to share. We're going to first talk about this year. The operating, the committee met. We're going to keep it as pretty high level. The operating income, the forecast operating income was adjusted to about approximately $50,000. And we have, this is through the end of April. So there's still 2 months, May and June are not yet, have not yet occurred. Let's see, what were the big changes? So, more adjustments on comp and benefits and other state revenue. The books and supplies is actually, I think it was an increase in food services. That's like food services is hidden under there. And then there was some adjustments in the federal revenue. That was, I think, us pushing one-time monies to the future. So some of that is just like an accounting. Thank you. Yeah. Well, just you work from the notes and tell me what I'm missing in. But we moved some ESSER money to next year. That's some one-time money. Like we're gonna count it as next year. And we got some additional. That was the other thing. We got additional last year hold harmless money. That's the other state revenue right, that we saw.
Fed money maybe in there too.
And there was an adjustment from our SELPA. Yes, on how they accounted, how they did their hold harmless. I think.
Right. Yeah. Exactly.
Okay, so with all of that said, the next slide shows that we are currently on track to have an ending fund balance of over $1.5 million and represents about 29% of our expenses. Good. Anne's got my back here. We're good. Okay. And then you want to talk to us about cash, Anne?
Our cash flow is strong through the end of the fiscal year, above 3 months of expenses of cash on hand.
Yeah. So not just of payroll, but like of all expenses. So that's cash on hand. It's like never been stronger as far as I can tell. Yeah. And it's really important that we have cash on hand because that means there's no excuses for people to not be paid on time.
Right. And in the past, when it was a struggle, right, we get payments from the state and we get our funding at not for rate lines and they will hold it back. And that you need to have 3 months because the state will lag by 3 months or more sometimes.
Yep. And we're going to get into, I have some updates on that when we talk about the budget for next year. So actually, before I move on, any questions from the public or board members on the finances for this year? Oh, and I'll just say not in here yet. Like the move-a-thon money was not in here yet. The parent night out money was not in here yet. So, you know, in terms of fundraising, I'm doing a quick glance. We had a goal of $190,000 this year. And as of the end of April, it was 170. And so that's just under, we're just shy of 20,000. So then you add in the move-a-thon and then you add in the parents night out and a few little things. And you call it a day and you're just going to say, we're either going to exactly get there or we're effectively there. And that's pretty amazing. Okay. I will actually pause. Questions or comments on this year's finances? Okay. Then I think on the agenda, one sec, is the next thing. Do we go right into? There are definitely more slides. I just wanted within finance though. Is there a separate? Yeah, no, we're good. We're going to talk about the budget right now. Sorry. Okay, here we go. So for next year, we're going to take a look at some draft budgets. So this is not final. There can be time for adjustments as we think about, and I'm showing you very high level. There's in the agenda, you can see all the details, way more details on this. This looks at this year. Next year's budget is the green column, 23-24, and then it looks out a couple of years. So you can see like over the next 3 years, revenue is slightly increases. You can see that the bottom line expenses also increase. And you can see that each year there is a projected operating income, but it's tight. It's tight next year. And then in a moment, I think we'll be able to see too, like most of that is about what's happening here is one-time monies are going away and enrollment is projected to go up. So as those, and those are like the two big dominating things. There's a lot of other money percentages that change, of course. But those are the main dynamics, and that if we, you know, hit enrollment numbers, we kind of can control our own destiny in that way. And we can have positive operating incomes and continue to run the school. The other trend is, and we talked about this at finance committee, we have one more kind of big year of fundraising. But you can see already the year after that, if we made no fundraising, we would have a smaller operating income, but we would still be up net positive. So we have one more year, and Krishna let us know she's in development around one more big grant to help us get to that 190. So that'd be great. Thank you for your work on that, Krishna. Okay, so there's a lot more stuff in here. The next slide shows each of these fiscal years, and it's saying, showing you the revenue per ADA, right? It goes up, but then it goes back down. It shows you the expenses per ADA in the draft budget. And it shows you an operating income per ADA, right? So next year, every kid, and what's confusing about this is, like, if Krishna were to enroll a 361st child or 366th child or something like that next year, we wouldn't get $171 operating income per that ADA, because not all the expenses are associated, you know. So this is representative of what is already here. But if you add more children, that's definitely boosts the operating income rapidly. So a bunch of revenue assumptions, and some of these are very clear, and some of them the California just has not made up its mind yet. So you can see it, the big assumption you can see is around enrollment, as far as I can tell. Like, that's a major one. So 360, we just saw data saying we have 365 for next year, budgeting on 360. We might not, you know, just because you have 365 now doesn't mean you'll have them at the first day of school, but it's better than not having them right now. That's for sure. We have been in a different place, so it's good to be on that side of the equation. And then you can see that growing over time, but not growing beyond our agreement with the county at all, well within the confines of the county. You can also see an uptick in our projected unduplicated count. And then you see some of the, like, ESSER money, ESSER 3 going away over the couple of years. And then you see things in here like, there was that one-time hold harmless state money. That's not going to happen again. You've got the state has already approved some of this money, learning recovery block grant and arts, music, and instructional money. And they are discussing right now, even though they've approved it and we're supposed to get it and they told us to count on it, they are clawing it back. They told us to spend, like, we could have already spent it by now. There you go. But that is not stopping them from, as they try and fix their own budget issues, saying, we're going to take that money back. Not give you the next money, take back the money they already approved. So I've heard of the state deferral. We talked about deferrals in a moment where they delay sending new money, but they're actually talking about effectively clawing back their money by taking it out of what they will pay, what they'll send. Yeah, it's really not great. So some of that is not totally modeled in here. And then, but on the other side, that's not totally modeled in here, is that there was a new state proposition for arts music money. And that is not, that revenue will start to show up, and that is not in here. And so hopefully there will be some softening there. These are some of these state issues. So the governor, he basically kept his COLA the same. It went up a little bit. But he brought down from the arts music instructional block grant, the learning recovery block grant, both went down, as I was just saying. And then the other big thing is that the Senate and the legislature and the governor are not together yet. So they have to pass a budget by June 15th, which they often do, but the details actually get figured out in trailer bills all summer long. We have to pass a budget based on with a lot of assumptions. And this may very well be a year where EdTech advises us to go ahead and pass our budget. But then as things get worked out in July and August, they might recommend to us that we go ahead and approve a new budget in August or September, if it's that different. Yeah. there's a lot of big things. Yeah. Okay. I'm gonna leave it at that. There's a lot of unknowns, but I think the main thing is we're building a budget that shows an operating income. There are reasons to there. If all goes well with the the enrollment, that operating income could shoot up real fast for next year. So I will stop there. Are there questions? Are there other things on the finance agenda? I wanted to make sure. Anything on the consent that we talked about? I don't think so. Nope. Oh yeah, we did. We looked at the audit. The audit's on there. Yeah, the audit is on consent too. The audit of last year is on for our vote. I think that's it though. So if you have ideas on the draft budget, if you're like more here, less here, you can reach out. You can comment now. Finance, we will look at again on the latest assumptions in June, and then we will have a multi-year budget to recommend in June for our vote. Public comments and other comments on finance. That was more than 5 minutes, sorry. Do you want a table, academic? Okay, all right, I'm not seeing any public comments on finance. I'm going to go and table academic, but I will, since it's on the agenda though, real quick, does anyone have any public comments they want to make about the academic committee? It didn't meet, so there's no report. All right. Sounds good. Family Advisory Council?
So the last FAC meeting of the year will be on Tuesday, May 30th at 7 p.m. on Zoom. It was supposed to have been the night of the truck play, and we were scheduled because that was not nice. The parents' night out raised over $1,000. Everyone seems to have had a really good time. I think if the hosts are willing, it would be a really fun thing to replicate a couple times in the school year. And I haven't actually heard how parents felt about it, how Rosella and Rachel felt about it, but I think it was a success. FAC and admin are meeting right after the end of the school year to lay out the calendar for events for next year. So we have sort of a plan to present families with at the beginning of the school year for activities. Some of the things that the FAC is looking ahead at for next year are creating the idea of buddy families to connect incoming families with returning ones, a parent-led book club to collaboratively learn about Montessori education and other topics, a fall dance, and more family-oriented events.
I see that thumb, Deb. Thank you.
There's a couple hundred from Chipotle.
Oh, yes. The Chipotle.
Oh, cool.
Just under 300? Yes. Yes.
Awesome. Deb is thumbs upping the buddy families in particular. Other comments for the FAC? I have a question. You said, maybe this is not necessarily in your FAC capacity, but while I have you, in your fundraising capacity, you said you were going to call a fundraising meeting.
I need to do that.
Okay.
In the next week.
Great. I guess. It could be in June. It could be in the summer. Yes.
I'm going to do more of a role in that.
Okay. Because I will run, I have ideas for the fall readathon, and I'm happy to run that, but I want to step out.
Yeah. Yeah. Awesome. Okay, other questions for the FAC or on the FAC report? All right. Executive, I will give that report, although I think Sarah's walking in right now. We met. What did I just do with it? I just had it up. We met. We talked about board recruitment. We actually posted and shared around the job description that Sarah worked on. I got an interested board candidate who might join the meeting. might join the meeting in June, just to, you know, check us out, take us for a spin. Let's see. We also, we went over like where we were with the board evaluation and head of school process. So I haven't looked recently on like, I think we're all good on the head of school evaluation survey. Good job, everybody, in terms of doing that. The there's a lot of participants this year. It was awesome. Yep. I have not looked at where we are on the board assessment participation. I think you had done it. Whatever.
Yes, I did.
Awesome. So we will look at, as a committee, I guess we will take that up in June and look at. And then we looked at some policies. We did a quick review of our uniform complaint policy, did a little clarifying there, and the Public Records Act policy, and those are on the agenda for tonight for the consent. That was the other thing finance looked at. We looked at the required spending plan for that arts, music, and instructional material. They require a plan on how we spent it, so we're doing that. And it's the same money they might claw back, but we have to approve the plan. Sorry.
It's funny.
It's so ridiculous, but here we are. That's what I have for exec. Yes, we're going to go to calendar, but before I do that, any public comment or questions on the committee report? Okay. Then next item is, does anyone need a change of officers or committee membership or anything like that this month? Great. Nope, no changes. Okay. Then board calendar. I wanted to have a quick conversation if folks can pull up the board calendar, the draft board calendar for next year. And I think I can share it. So it's very much like starting from this year, looking forward, right? It turns out that there doesn't look, from my look on the calendar, there shouldn't be a December meeting. It should actually be in November. So normally we don't meet in November, but the way Thanksgiving's like super early, so it worked out.
School year calendar, you could review that to see what works better. So we made it that way for the school year calendar.
Okay.
To match the winter break is a week later. So you could do a mid-December meeting if people prefer, but it doesn't matter to me. No.
Well, the point is that it's just one meeting.
Right.
I'd rather the intention was always to meet in November and not meet in December. That's why we always met early in December, just to kind of as the November meeting. That's what so since we can meet in November, I figured we would do it. And it's usually the first Thursday after Thanksgiving break. It just usually that is in December. So it kind of was the same pattern. So what we show is currently the same pattern that we've had. So I just wanted to flag that. And then none of these meetings are my birthday or my child's birthday this year. So that was a bonus. I don't know how I let that one slip last year. It is okay. And then the March meeting, spring break starts on March 28th. Like, do we want to? So like that's,
we should do that before. Like, there's a few, and the June one should be done on week three instead of four.
Okay.
They're just that the June one is going to be too tight on the, like, it's stressful for the approvals that then need to be submitted that same day. And when we have, like, it's also a time where we can sometimes take a day off, but if I have to, like, do, you know.
Yeah. Well, and sometimes something comes up and we have to call a special meeting and fix something or whatever.
So yes, I think
so. So that's fine. What that can sometimes mean is that the financials aren't ready in time for finance committee, but that's fine. Maybe we'll move finance committee to like the Monday of that. Yeah, like a little bit later, but still before the board meeting. So just wanted to flag that. Okay, so this is draft. I would recommend that the committees like pull it up in June and look at it one more time. And just like make sure that your language is accurate and all that sort of stuff. And then we'll discuss it again in June. Are there any public comments on the board's calendar for next year or questions? Okay, seeing none, we're going to move on to the next item, which I believe is
just a brief updated conversation on our calendar for next year. So OUSD did, and Sarah, you should take over as soon as you're done chewing.
At the February board meeting, maybe, we approved a provisional calendar with a discussion around wanting to make sure that when OUSD came out with its calendar, that we would be aligned. And that just didn't happen for a little while, but they did. And they, because of where Christmas is falling, it was like unclear which week they were going to choose. They did choose the later week. And so we updated at executive committee, we updated the calendar to be in alignment with that, which is what we've typically always tried to do, is be in as alignment with OUSD for families who have kids at both schools, families who work at those schools. So that's what this is reflective of. I don't think there's any other changes. So
no, it adds it adds professional development day, but that's also in alignment with the OUSD calendar. And it's a positive change for us as a school, because we had been trying to figure out how to get that day, that PD day after winter break, which is a wonderful like reset of the like second half of the year for staff.
Yeah, there's nothing worse than coming back after 2 weeks.
So some things are the same. So like this year, school's ending the week after Memorial Day.
We start 1 week later and we end 1 week later, and otherwise we're aligned with OUSD.
Got it. And the this year, the last 3 days of school are all minimum days, and this calendar shows something a little different. So I just wanted to flag that. It shows the Thursday, May 30th, 2024, still as a regular day, which I don't...
We'll
could think about that.
Survey that one with staff.
Okay.
I think there's just mixed feelings both directions.
Yeah. I don't know. I mean, seeing the events pop up this spring, right, with promotions and stuff like that, I wonder if it's helped, but I don't know. Yeah. And then I noticed you made the last day in December is also a minimum day.
I think that's for our holiday part.
Like, I was going to say, will there be
staff get together?
And probably no aftercare that day.
No aftercare that day or the last day of school.
Yeah.
So that we can make sure we're including the whole staff in our like those types of events.
Yeah. Okay. Great. We put this on as a discussion and it's not on the agenda. So we'll technically bring it back in June to like firm it up, but I can update it on the Google. It's not on the as a vote to approve.
Yeah. Well, I didn't think we needed to vote since we had already approved it. At our last discussion, we said we can approve it and then.
Yeah, I don't know. I think we should. I think you should feel.
I just wanted to make sure folks were aware.
Yeah.
I think we can go back because I do remember in the minutes us saying the approval being something like we approved with changes to match OUSD don't need to be reapproved.
I think that's what we tried to do.
Got it. We can double check it. It's no problem to put on the consent in June. And also we can update the Google calendar now and tell the family. It's clear that's the calendar. It's definitely.
We'll accept those benefit days. There's a couple of things to double check as we close out this year.
Yeah. Okay. Sarah, we are on other business. Oakland and California updates.
Oh. I'm on all the other Oakland and Cal. Oh, I'm doing Oakland updates?
You always are.
Oh, really?
You just pass it to me.
That's hilarious. OUSC ended their 7-day strike. 7-day strike. The tentative agreement around some of the common good things that they were looking at. I'm sure Greg can tell you more of those details. That's a lot. We'll pass it to him to do so.
I'll just share. The TA was approved, I think, with a 90% vote from the OEA members. So my understanding is that it'll, goes next. I think
either to the board or all the way to the county first for checking. I can't remember, but it'll work its way through. One thing though that I noticed is that OUSD, in one of their public presentations at their board meeting, they said that they are planning to adopt their budget for next year without factoring in the TA, because they don't have, they said they didn't have time to like get it all factored in. And so that, so on top of all the like state assumptions and complications, they are also dealing with that. So on the other hand, it looked to me from my read, they are, you know, their draft budget shows them ending next year with a projected fund balance of nearly $300 million. So obviously that will go down because they'll factor in raises for teach, you know, and stuff like that. But their draft budget without factoring the TA still felt like they were going to be in good shape. So that's good. That's good. The other thing I wanted to share was that Director Davis from OUSD, he's the District 1 representative. Just today, he published like a personal blog on his take on the strike and the tentative agreement. And so if you're curious to kind of read his take on it, you can find that. He put it on his Facebook and Twitter and probably LinkedIn too. Yeah, he posts on a lot of places. Oh, and if you're on his newsletter, he sent it out. What else? I think
call the vote for it to fill the board seat.
Yes, that's right. Thank you.
The special vote.
There'll be a special election for District 5. So our families that live in District 5 will get a vote for their new representative, which means District 5 is going to go about a year without direct representation. And then the other thing is the Oakland side published an article today. I haven't had a chance to read it, but the headline was, is that OUSD's attendance went down 4%, obviously, because of the strike. So that's going to have implications for like their chronic absence reporting and their attendance reporting and all those sorts of numbers. So, yeah. Any questions or public comments or other things about Oakland and California updates? All right, then we're gonna get ready here to approve some minutes or vote on them anyway. Is there a motion to approve the minutes from our regular meeting on April 27th? Thank you, Kara. Is there a second? Is there any discussion or public comment on them? All right, all in favor on approving the minutes from April? Aye. Any opposed? Thank you, Donald. Any opposed? Any abstentions? All right. We got them approved. Is there a motion to approve the minutes from the special board meeting on May 15th? Thank you, Kara. Is there a second? Thank you, Sarah. Is there any questions about the minutes or public comments on the minutes from the May 15th special meeting? All right. All in favor? Aye.
Aye.
Anyone oppose? Any abstentions? All right. You want me to keep it going here?
Yeah.
You
good?
Is there a, yeah, it's all good. Is there a motion to approve the consent report? I'll make a motion to approve the consent report. As my motion, have a second? Thank you. Is there any public comment on the consent report or questions? Okay. Oh, now I lost my spot. Okay. All in favor? Aye.
Aye.
Any oppose? Any abstentions? Passes unanimously. All right. We have a spending plan for the grant they're going to take back. Isn't that great? What's the next item?
New business items for future meetings. Anyone have something new that we need to make sure we put on the agenda? All right. Seeing none. Community agreement reflection. Any thoughts or reflections on how we observed or not our community agreements? I'll just say that I felt like the finances, which I think have been a real strength of your leadership, Krishna, in particular, really helped me know that it is possible. Any other reflections? Okay. You're good. We got you. All right. Well, the next item is a closed session item, public employee performance evaluation of the head of school. This is an item we always go into in closed session. And before we do, are there any public comments on this item? Okay, not hearing any. I'm going to go ahead. It's 6:49 p.m. The board's going to go in closed session, and I'm going to pause the recording.
We are coming out of closed session. There were no votes or action items coming out of this time, and it is 7:46. Have a great evening, everybody.
All right, we're adjourned.